Hey guys, and welcome to BH Live. My name is Brendan Hansford, and I'm a choreography director and now a presenter here based in Dubai. And this is my weekly podcast, which is hosted at the Souk Madinette. And if you want to come down and watch us live, it's 5:30 every single week. So the aim of this podcast is to interview some of the most amazing creatives, artists, influencers, business people, really anyone with a story, get them on show to tell us how they did it, and hopefully you guys can learn from them. And I've got an incredible guest this week called Sarah Hill. Sarah, do you want to introduce yourself and tell everybody what you do and where you come from and so on?
I'd love to. Yeah, like you said, my name's Sarah Hill. I'm 34 years old, originally from Portland in Dorset.
I'm from Dorset.
Really?
I didn't even know that. I'm from Bridport.
Yeah, no, I'm from the little island of Portland.
I know Portland. Oh, how strange. Sorry.
Started dancing when I was 3 years old and made it my life, my commitment, my passion. My dream, and yeah, now agency booker and creative and choreographer here in Dubai.
Over here in Dubai.
Yeah.
And how long have you been here?
I've been here nearly 9 years. Nine long years. Came here for 2 years and then never left. Become a part of the furniture now. Can't get rid of me.
Well, I've been here for 3 months now. What should I look out for? What should I avoid? What should I get worried about? And what should I embrace?
Embrace the heat that's about to come. There's no running away from it. There is no getting used to it.
Yeah.
Like, it's not one of those things that you can say, oh yeah, no, I'm getting used to the summer now. No, you never get used to walking outside and your phone steaming up and that line of sweat on your top lip instantly. So embrace the heat, avoid rush hours, and just enjoy all the little moments. Always enjoy the sunsets. Like, enjoy the beauty, because you can get very used to it. It can become a bit norming. Always enjoy.
Appreciate what's around you.
Exactly, always.
That I do. And I'm so far, it's like, this place is my dream. If there's a beach, and there's
the beach
sun,
and the sea,
the rest of it just doesn't matter. So, tell us about your career up to now. Tell everyone what you've done. So you started at 3 years old, you danced.
You
danced in London.
Yeah, I was a competitive child. I went all over the southwest in London doing competitions. I was that kid with the braids, with the feathers and the white and blue eyeshadow and the tutus going from competitions all over the UK. I loved it. I lived and breathed it. My mum sent me to dance because I had too much energy. She thought it would shut me up. It only made me worse. I got a scholarship to go to Doreen Bird's Performing Arts School when I was 16.
Amazing.
So I took the leap of faith and went to London.
Nice.
And never looked back. I have danced with some amazing artists, done some amazing jobs that I'm super, super proud of. And I've now slowly developed into choreographing, teaching, and creating concepts for events.
Nice.
And what I love about my job is that it all starts in my head.
Okay.
It all, like, all these little ideas, all the concepts, and then you get to watch them come to life.
Okay.
And that's
so going back to when you were a dancer in London and running around the place, any names you can drop?
Of course.
drop some names in
you've
it.
You've got One Direction, Ellie Goulding, CeeLo Green, Paloma Faith, Girls Aloud, JLS, Ollie Murs.
Nice. And it just goes on.
All the usual, the UK lot, you know, how it happens, Alexandra Burke. Yeah. Brit Awards, X Factor, Britain's Got Talent.
Oh, so you were a proper commercial dancer.
Yeah, I was in there. Yeah, I mean, the dream was always to do musical theatre until I started doing like pantos. And my first job was on a cruise ship for Royal Caribbean.
Okay.
So 6 months into my third year at Bird's, I was given a contract for Royal Caribbean. So 2 years, 2 months after graduating, flew out to Miami, did a year there. Great way of saving money, like I love the cruise ships, but it was very, I realized very fast that I did not want to do something the same every day.
Ah, snap.
The idea of doing the same show for a year contract, it bored the living daylights out of me.
Yeah.
And as much as I love musical theater and I taught it and I even now listen to musical theater on phone in the car, it became very obvious that was not my path.
Okay.
And then I started thinking more down the commercial line. I started, because I was a technical dancer, I started going to classes in London, Pineapple Studios, doing hip hop classes, doing commercials, doing heels classes. I'm like, oh, I love this, I get to make my hair.
We must have crossed paths. Because I was in all the hip hop and commercial classes.
Yeah.
Did you ever go to Huskies?
Yes. St Huskies, yeah.
I was there like 3 nights a week.
Yeah, every audition was always there.
Yeah.
Miles away, it was in Netherfield and Castle.
It was a 2-hour drive for me.
Yeah.
3 times a week, just to train with, you know, like, I think back in the day it was Avant-Garde, mm-hmm. Plague, yeah. All the old hip-hop crews that now...
I mean, I'm not a hip-hop girl. I'm definitely not one of those girls. I will put a hoodie on and I will blag it till the sun comes home, but that's not where I'm at. Like, commercial jazz is me.
Who was your favourite class? Which teacher?
Do you know what? I absolutely loved Shaney's.
Shaney the Ledge.
Because you always woke up the next day and your bum and your thighs were on fire from
just
those warm-up exercises.
Yeah.
It still covered the technical side of it, which I loved. You know, the kicks, the turns, the floor exercises. But every week was something different, so it was more commercial contemporary 1 week, and then it was full-on jazz, and then it was like whip your hair and grind on the floor.
He switched it, didn't he? He used to go
from
like,
he always changed
commercial
it up.
Hip-hop to...
Yeah.
Lyrical, should we say.
But it was always like an amazing workout.
Yeah.
Like you walk out and you're shaking, you're like, electrolytes.
You were not going to do another class that day.
No, no, you're dead.
You booked Shaney's, you're not doing another class that day at all. So how did you transition from dancer into choreographer into booker?
Here in Dubai, I was working as a freelancer for around two, 3 years.
Yeah.
And then I just wanted something a little bit more stable. And then I started teaching. So I took a dance job at a local dance school, became like management for their whole dance division.
Mm-hmm.
And then we started branching out within that company, within that school of doing events. So then they would be like, oh, do you know any dancers that can do this job? I'm like, yeah. So then I would like just call up a couple of people and go, do you want this job?
Yeah.
And I'm like, do you know what? I can do this choreography.
So it was super organic how it happened.
Yeah, it was just a natural
progression. Created yourself reputation and people just would come to you.
Absolutely.
Nice.
Yeah, and I created like a nice little group of dancers, a solid group, you know, 5 girls, 5 boys that would be my go-to
nice.
People. And yeah, it really just flowed. And then from one small event, and then the next one got bigger, and the next one got bigger, and then your reputation starts being built. And it is all word of mouth in this town, just like it is anywhere else.
I'm starting to realise it's really, it's so small.
So small.
Like, well, do you know what confuses me about Dubai is it's so far when you want to walk somewhere. It feels like everything's crazy far apart, but the minute you have a car, everything just feels so small. Everything's 15, 20 minutes away.
Yeah, I give myself half an hour and I'm anywhere.
Yeah.
I'm at Sharjah, half an hour.
Unless the taxi driver doesn't know where they're going, of course.
Yeah.
Which seems to be
They think you're a
thing.
Tourist and do a few U-turns and you're like, I live here, I know where you're going.
Yeah, I know where you are.
I know what you're doing.
I have Google Maps, come on. So tell me, if you had to pick, what would be your top 3 highlights of your career? And tell me about them.
The first highlight would definitely be my first job in the commercial scene.
Okay.
It was when Alexandra Burke won X Factor.
And I remember this.
There was an open audition and the choreographer was Frank Gatson, who did Single Ladies for Beyonce.
Yeah.
So he was already an icon.
Yeah.
And that was an open audition. There were
I was
thousands
at the audition.
Of girls.
I didn't get it, but I was at the audition. Because I remember the kind of like, he did the...
Broken Heels.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway, go ahead, sorry.
And it was... And I got whittled down at the same time. I was also down to the last 50, So You Think You Could Dance, the very first series of
nice.
It in the UK.
Yeah.
But we were getting rumours that, you know, the top 10 had already kind of been selected.
Of course it
has. And
TV.
Yeah, we were in, like, we were going down the rounds, you know, come back tomorrow, come back tomorrow. And I went up to Frank and I was like, look, I'm supposed to be doing boot camp for So You Think You Can Dance. If I don't go to that, I'm kicked out, but I don't want to get kicked out and then not get this job. And he was like, stay.
Yeah.
And that job really just catapulted me. It made me known. You know, I was working with all these dancers, like your Danielle Pizas, who had already been working
she's
in the industry.
Smashing.
Oh, she smashed it.
She's killing it.
I love her on Instagram.
Yeah.
And for me, that was like my first time on live TV.
Yeah.
That was my first time doing raw variety performance.
Yeah.
Like, this is the queen. Like, for me, that was just awe-inspiring to sit in the audience and watch sound checks for the stars. Like,
We
were watching Lady Gaga soundcheck and Whoopi Goldberg came and sat next to me and was like, she's amazing, right? I was like,
hi.
I was messaging my dad. I was like, you never guess who sat next to me.
Trying to get a picture.
I was just like, and I learned so much from working with Frank Gatson. Like, he spent 2 hours talking to us about how to bevel.
Right.
How to get a job by walking in the room before you even dance.
Yeah.
How to grasp people's how to grasp people's attention.
Yeah.
You know, just by that eye contact.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I know who to cast by the first 8 walks.
Yeah.
And that's what I've always taken and put into my teaching.
Right.
So I would have classes with the kids that I would teach on how to walk from a corner.
Yeah.
because it's so important. Your poise, is, yeah. your attitude, the way you look, that eye contact, yeah. having that fierceness about you and that the confidence.
Yeah.
So that for me was like my first big highlight of my career. Second highlight, probably a similar one, again, Britain's Got Talent. A resident dancer for Britain's Got Talent.
Yeah, the dream job in the UK, right?
Yeah, it was with two massive choreographers who had come together to manage it. Again, a massive team of male and female dancers.
Yeah.
Open auditions that went through 2-3 days.
Castle calls, yeah.
Yeah, you know, just being surrounded by 100 thousands of dancers who are amazing.
Yeah.
And getting booked and getting confirmed for a month-long project on live TV.
Yeah.
Getting that call and calling my mum, that was a big.
Did she cry?
My mum's always had that. Oh, I knew you'd get it.
Yeah. Oh, I knew you'd get it. That's confidence, right?
Yeah. And then third, probably 2 years ago, I was handpicked to choreograph for the 50th anniversary of the Dubai Rugby Sevens opening ceremony.
Wow.
So I managed 60 dancers on pitch. I managed choirs, the Dubai drummers, camels. We had to coordinate with Emirates with planes
flying
over.
So you were a showrunner, really?
I did everything. Yeah. I choreographed, managed, showran.
Jeez.
It was three hectic days. I don't think I ate. I think I dropped about 10 pounds over that weekend. But for me to put my name to such a huge event and for it to be the 50th anniversary, that was a really proud moment as a choreographer.
How do you think that catapulted you after that? Do you feel like that led you to more work, or was it kind of just a one?
No, absolutely. Yeah. You know, to have that as on my CV and for me to say, when clients come to us going, well, what have you worked with in Dubai? You say Dubai Rugby Sevens opening ceremony, and they're like, oh, okay.
People
take you seriously.
Accredited.
Not the gala dinners, not the private parties, not like these little jobs here and there.
The things you don't put in your CV, that
was,
right?
Yeah, that was viewed by over 2,000 people live on streams. So like that was big.
No.
So that, I was really proud when that worked out.
Even after 9 years, why Dubai?
Oh, it's infectious. Waking up every day to the sunshine. I mean, I love London. I love the attitude of London and the feel and the smells of it. Mm. But nothing beats waking up and jumping in your car and driving down the road to beautiful sights around you.
Every single day.
Yeah. You have a day off and it's like being on holiday. It's not like in the UK where you have to walk to Tesco and you get drenched in rain and then it takes 3 days to dry out your UGG boots and it's like...
I didn't know they were still around.
Yeah, UGGs still exist in the UK.
Oh,
not in the
desert,
but...
No, definitely not.
Yeah, it's hard to leave. Like, my mission was to come here for 2 years, save money for a mortgage and go back to UK. I couldn't bring myself to say goodbye to it. And like every year has had a different journey, it's had a different challenge. I feel like this place has led my career to advance in a faster level than what it would do living in the UK still.
Okay.
I mean, I miss my family terribly. Like I haven't been able to get home for 2 years now. We're praying for Christmas now. I've trying to give it up on the summer holiday because we're still on the red list. But I always find myself wanting to come back, even if I'm home for a week.
My brother's getting married in August, and I've got to get home. I'm the best man.
Oh.
So I don't have a choice. So I might have to pay that hotel fee if it's still not.
Or camp out in a different country for 2 weeks and come in.
That's a lot of people say that to me. Go on holiday somewhere for 2 weeks.
Explore,
Yeah, why not?
I know someone who recently went to Egypt for 2 weeks.
Oh, wow.
Quarantined there, and it was half
perfect.
The price, I think, so.
But a lot of friends are actually, that's a great idea. I'm stealing that.
Do it.
But talking about COVID, how has it affected you? Let me finish that question. How has it affected you, and how do you see it coming out of COVID? Like, what do you see next? Or what's changed?
So before COVID hit, I'd probably had my best year, especially the Q4 before everything shut down.
Yeah.
It was job after job. I've choreographed for Maras for the whole national day all over Dubai and UAE. I was choreographing for the Louvre. I'd had the most amazing 6 months in my career here as a booker and as a choreographer. And then it just stopped. Everything that we had
literally
booked
overnight,
up. Yeah, literally we had about 2-3 million dirhams worth of work just go, just disappear. And you know, my job's not just about me, it's about the dancers and about the performers and the singers. Like, my job is putting money in their banks. Like, I love giving work to people. And when that stops coming in and I can't do that, I'm like, well, what do I do? And then all these pitches come in for 6 months down the line, but I'm like, well, realistically, is this
going? Are they going to be here as well?
Yeah, and you're just sat twiddling your thumbs. Like, you try to be really proactive, and that's what we did. We spent last summer, you know, coming up with amazing show concepts and creative ideas that we could then pitch once this is over. Yeah. And that is now coming in handy, because now that things are starting to move again, we're like, here you go, it's done.
How quickly can you get it together? Give me 24 hours.
But the problem we're facing now is budgets. Yeah. You know, a lot of these companies have not earned the money that they had before, so you're seeing drastic changes in budgets being sent to you. Everyone still wants the same level.
Of course.
They still want 20 dancers, but they want it at half the price.
Of course.
Which is very hard to compete. It's hard to manage with. Yeah. You have to be extremely flexible and call in favors.
I was just going to say, like, how do you manage that? Because at the same time, if this is all they can afford, do you go, right, well, we know it's going to be hard for a while, we need to settle for the lower fees, or do you go, no, this is the fee?
I mean, there's a fine line between accepting these rates and then shooting yourself in the foot.
Because they'll expect it every time.
Yeah,
right?
And then but then thinking, well, this is money, and you know, this job coming in could then feed a dancer or for a month.
This is
although this rate is half what it used to be, that rate could still cover someone's rent that they're desperate to cover. So we're now putting in clauses that this is a current Dubai COVID rate. Yeah. Pre-COVID, if you want to book this in 6 months, it's going to be this rate.
Ah, clever. Okay.
So that way we're not putting ourselves in a bracket or in a box. We're saying that once things get back to normal and we're running like at 100% again, do not come to me expecting these rates, because it's going to be here. Because people, you know, we've been going through our savings.
Yeah.
Like, we've been...
Oh, I get it, trust me. I get that. Don't worry, I've pretty much completed my savings while being here.
So yeah, I'm really hoping that in 6 months down the line, we're all making money.
Yeah.
We're all being creative, we're all getting on the stage every single week. We're all being thrown into makeup this way and costume into that way, and we're all back.
So this is a problem I think happens all around the world. How would you deal with the people that just undercut constantly? Because obviously you know you're providing a quality product. I know I'm providing a quality product. So when I say this is my rate, and people go, oh, it's too expensive. Obviously I'm in a position, luckily, where I can go somewhere else then.
Yeah.
But as an agency, you need these jobs. And as COVID's here and it's been a bit rubbish, how do you tackle that, knowing that another agency or another dancer might go, I'll do it for half that and I'll supply 7, 8, 10, 20 dancers? How do you navigate that now?
I'm still trying to work that out because it's dancers that I used to book that I'm seeing go behind, not just my bag or every other agency's back and making friends with the producers on shoots and undercutting. And the problem is, we're never going to crawl back from it. If this is what you're doing, you're putting, it's putting people out of business.
Yeah.
It's putting these agencies, and agencies exist to protect the dancers.
Yes, thank you. glad you said that.
We insure you so that if you tumble or if a light falls on you, you're covered. You know, we have your back if payments are not there. We have LPOs, we have the paperwork to take to court if these people do not pay you. Because if you go direct and they decide not to pay you, there is nothing you can do about it.
You're not going to hire a lawyer.
Yeah, I'm there to make sure that, you know, people are treated fairly. You know, even down to small things like you have a toilet in your green room, you have electricity plugs, you have water, you're getting fed on a job.
Yeah.
You know, these are all things that are my responsibility.
Yeah.
And, you know, one of those things is ensuring fair wages.
Yeah.
I mean, people in Dubai have been spoiled with the rates.
Yes.
Like, when I first moved here, the rates were triple what you get paid for a job in London. So them equaling a little bit is not the end of the world, but some people have been undercutting to the point where you just cannot compete.
Yeah.
But I am turning around and using that famous line of, if you want to pay peanuts, you're going to get monkeys.
Right. False economy.
Like, exactly. Like, you are going to pay for what you get.
Yeah.
I know that I'm only going to put dancers on jobs that are amazing, that give that wow factor, that have the technical abilities to wow your guests. They're not just dancers, they're also aerialists, they're also this, and that. Like, if you want something amazing, we can give that to you, but not for the price that people want to pay for it.
And exactly.
You wouldn't go into a supermarket and say, right, I want this piece of bread, like this amazing fancy bread. But I want it for the cost of like, caviar.
There we go.
Like, I want this caviar pot, but I only want to pay the same amount that I'm paying for this 3-day-old slice of salmon.
Yeah.
Like, you don't negotiate quality. You don't go into a Rolex store and say, I only want to pay half the price for a Rolex because it's COVID.
Yeah.
Like, it's finding the fine line of matching budgets while also being fair to the talented people that have devoted their life.
So if you had let's assume I'm a dancer here.
Okay.
So, just assume I'm doing.
Kind of.
And I'm in that mindset of I'm broke, I need to pay my rent, and I'm willing to undercut people to get that job. What would you say to me to kind of make me realise into the right mindset to go like, you're actually damaging the industry long term, this is going to hurt you, other than repeating what I just said?
I mean, I've seen posts on Facebook of people moaning and complaining about the rates, but they're also the same people are taking the work.
Yeah.
And like, it's very hypocritical.
Yeah.
Like, in the long run, like, you can't have a unity here.
Yeah.
But like, there needs to be some sort of minimum wage set. Like, we all need to agree, we all need to support each other.
Yeah.
Because if you go and do a job for 300 dirhams and you're there all day, when is the people hiring you ever going to? When are those people that are hiring you going to respect what you've trained for? Like, you've got to respect yourself.
You've got
to respect your skill, your talent. We've all been training all our lives for this. It's not just something we decided to do. It's something that's in us.
Yeah.
And it's a natural talent that you've evolved. If you sell yourself short, the only person you're damaging is yourself.
Yeah.
Agencies are always going to, I mean, the agency I work for, we're always going to find ways to keep pushing through. We're always going to be diverse and try and shake up the business. But if people are always going to sell themselves short, there's not a lot we can do about it. I suppose
the great thing about the whole, like you said, if you're going to pay people, you actually get monkeys and Pulse Economy, is they will get on set and the directors, the producers, whoever's in charge will see they're not cutting it. And there's one thing I used to pitch a lot as a director and as a choreographer to hire the right dancers. And I'd say, look, you know, you need to pay this because then you'll get better dancers. Well, you know, if we can pay this, I said, well, think about it. You have rubbish dancers who have no rubbish is harsh, but you have less experience dancers.
Yes, there we go.
They're going to mess up more, they're going to wander off, they're going to get the choreography wrong, they're going to be nervous.
Lazy mentality,
they're going to take longer. You're going to take longer to get the shot. Mm-hmm. You're going to go overtime. And I know you have to pay every single person in this room overtime.
Yeah.
Paying them an extra £100 or 500 dirhams
getting
on top of their wage.
Shot.
Get a show away, done.
Yep.
And then you can finish early.
Yep.
And actually, that's won quite a lot of jobs and pushed the budget up quite a lot with producers.
Mm-hmm.
So, there you go.
No,
take
absolutely.
It, abuse it, that's what I use.
Absolutely.
So, tell us, our listeners, what your goals are for the next 6 months to the next 5 years.
Oh, my goals. Continue.
Whether it's here in Dubai or not.
Continue surviving.
Yes. That's the next 6 months.
The next 6 months is...
Survive.
No, I mean, my goal is to get to the point where I can see what I've been working on come to life again. You know, that really is the short-term goal, is to get money back in people's bank accounts, to get dancers back on stages, to get acrobats flying through the air. Like, that is my goal, is to get things back up and running, you know, bring life again back to the industry.
And where do you see yourself in 5 years? You still here?
Probably a yummy mummy.
Yummy mummy.
Absolutely. You know, I've the idea of a family, but you know, that this passion is always going to be there for me.
Yeah.
So I believe that this is a kind of career that you can navigate through family life, through wherever you are in the world.
Yeah.
Who knows where you can be in 5 years? 5 years ago, I didn't think I would still be in Dubai.
Oh, exactly.
Like, 5 months ago, I didn't think I would still be in Dubai.
That's always a great question, because I always find when I talk to creatives like yourself, they just don't know.
No.
I didn't know I'd be in Dubai 4 months ago.
No.
And now I've moved here, got a visa, and I'm here for the next 3 years at least.
I mean, all the jobs that I've done throughout the 15 years of my career, I had no idea 3 months before that I would be doing that. So 5 years is a very, very long way away. But just, you know,
God, I'll be really old then.
My aim is just to be happy. You know, to bring happiness to other people and to continue trying to make magic come to life through events and dance and
And looking back through your life, your career, Kabivaro, what would you say was the most challenging moment for you and how did you overcome it?
Life in London.
Really?
Auditioning. You know, it's not an easy career. You get judged the minute you walk in the door. It doesn't mean anything if you're the best dancer in the room sometimes.
No.
If you have not got the right look, the right height, the right hair colour, the right style, you're not going to get that job. The hardest thing I've had to accept is that I'm not going to walk in and get everything.
No.
You have to learn to deal with rejection. And, you know, I've seen dancers fall over in auditions and then get the job. And I'm so, you know, keeping yourself motivated is definitely one of the hardest and most challenging things. You know, getting up and going, I didn't get that audition, I've got no jobs today, but going, instead of sitting at home and doing nothing, I'm going to go to a class. I'm going to go train. I'm going to go better myself. I'm going to go to a class that I'm not very good at and challenge myself because who knows, what I learn in that class then may help at the next audition. So, you know, keeping yourself motivated because no one will do it for you in this industry.
There's a really great quote, actually, I literally listened to yesterday. David Goggins, I'm reading his book at the moment, and he was saying motivation is shit. Sorry, excuse me. Oh, God, it's the first time I swore on the podcast. But his words.
You reminded me not to.
Damn it. So he's like, motivation means nothing. Motivation is short-lived. Drive is for life.
Yeah.
So, and he kind of went into the whole explanation of having a drive for a goal is always going to keep you in the gym, is always going to keep you working, is always going to keep you making an effort with your marriage, with your kids, whatever it is. So they were like, he was basically like, scrap motivation, forget it. It comes and goes depending on your mood. But if you have a drive and you have a goal the whole time, and he was talking about, as it's deeper, but putting your goals on your mirror in the morning. So when you wake up, the first thing you read is your goals and it should snap you into place in theory.
No, because one of my favorite quotes is, if the plan doesn't work, don't change the plan, change the direction. So don't change what the end goal is, change the different way
find a different journey.
And that's the way it is in this career. Like, if you want to be a commercial dancer, you want to be dancing behind Beyonce, okay, that first audition might not get you there, but work your way around how to get there.
And again, like we've said before, it is a lot about who you know. So networking in this industry is just so important. You know, like getting these really great bookers on a podcast just to talk to them.
Hey, check me out, hire me.
So how did you overcome the rejection? How did you overcome the London industry? Because I know firsthand that feeling.
I'm very lucky that I have an incredibly supportive family. My mum and dad are my biggest fans. Like, my dad will watch a video of me dancing or singing and cry. My mum, you know, was there for every single competition, every single exam, you know, telling me when I've done something wrong and how I can do it better, but always being front row clapping. Like, when I was assistant choreographer here for Steps at the Opera House, they flew out, they stood there with a sign with my name on it, like, having that support system, you know, sometimes I did cry. Sometimes I did call up my mum going, I just don't know why I didn't get that job. I don't know why I'm not. I went, because you, as dancers in London, you can work the best jobs and be in that clique, and then you'll have 2 months of not a single booking. And it's like, what do I do? I don't know what I'm doing. Or maybe I'm not good enough. Maybe I need to change. Maybe I need to do something else. And my mum was like, well, what else would you want to do? Like, nothing. She was like, well, there's your answer. There's nothing else you want to do it. So keep your chin up. Like, crying doesn't make it better. Being upset doesn't make it better. Go and do something positive. Go do class. Throw your energy into that. Create something new. Practice. Like, really having them to support me was a dream.
Just got you.
It was just the best thing.
Are your parents in the industry at all, or are they completely away from
that? No, my mum always wanted to dance. When she grew up, she didn't. She wasn't in the situation where she could. So when I chose to dance, I think, not that she lived through me, but she was a dance
mum. Slightly giddy.
Oh, my mum was a dance mum. Absolutely
amazing.
She was at the competitions going, smile. I'm like, okay, mum.
I can just see it now.
She's in the audience being like, smile.
Oh, Show me those teeth, those little pearly whites.
Exactly. So having that, but they've always been so proud of everything I've done. You know, if I put a picture up on Facebook, they share it. Or,
Proper dance mom.
When I've done adverts and stuff, they'll screenshot it, or they'll do videos in the living room, going, look, she's there. I'm like, yeah.
I made that.
So I think having a strong support system, whether it's family or whether it's an amazing group of friends, okay. I think
incredible.
Yeah, and have something outside of the industry.
Okay.
I've never been one to be clicky with the people I work.
I can agree more.
With. Because all my the industry's best friends very clicky
are like
anyway.
In the most boring jobs in the world, in my opinion.
Exactly.
But I love them to pieces.
Yeah. All my long, like my lifelong friends.
Yeah.
Work in finance or you know do normal jobs, and it keeps me grounded.
Yeah. Couldn't agree more. So what advice would you give to someone looking to break into the industry? Whether it be, let's go with dancers.
Mm-hmm.
So any fresh graduate dancer that wants to break into the industry, whether it be London or Dubai, what advice would you give them?
Don't give up. It takes time. It takes a while. You know, from the time that I came back to London off the cruise ship before I got Alexandra Burke, it took, I want to say nearly a year before I got that job.
Okay.
There was a lot of crappy jobs in between.
There
was a lot of doing hostess work, doing promotional work, you know, standing on the street.
Do you remember
going,
promo phase?
Like handing out a leaflet in the rain. You're like, you don't want this, I don't want to do this, but I have to.
Go to this gym, I know nothing about
it. Exactly. Protein shake?
Where was that? I don't know. We're talking about your life as a promo person.
No, to not expect it all to be easy.
Yeah.
Like, because when you come out of college, especially if you were a college favourite and you were the lead role in your third year show,
in your little bubble,
you're in the middle doing your time steps. Like, real life in this industry is not what you think it's going to be. Like, I know we had a conversation earlier that, you know, there are like 65,000 dancers in London and only 2,000
are actually regularly working as a dancer.
It takes time. Like, don't give up. Mm. Persist. This is your dream.
Okay.
You should not give up on your dream just because it's hard. Nothing is worth getting if it's not worth the journey to get there.
Do you think there's, this is a completely off track question because it popped into my head. Do you think there's something kind of wrong with the educational system in the UK? Because you're right. I've met fresh graduates all bright eyed and ready to do it and they've got their CV and photo in their bag. Still.
Yeah.
And I'm like, why? That, like, it's so backwards, so behind the times.
I mean, I'm a little bit retro. I love the whole CV.
Of course, like, in this day and age, they've already got their photos on the computer in front of them. You know,
I mean, what's sad nowadays is that it's like you go to auditions and they ask how many followers you've got on Instagram.
Yeah, this is true.
And, you know, photos are so overdone and airbrushed and, you know, you have to look perfect to walk in as the perfect body type and things like that.
Yeah.
Sorry, what was the question?
Do you think there's stuff that's not being taught in colleges
absolutely,
that should be taught?
Absolutely. The college that I went to, I've seen a dramatic change.
That was good.
In
a bad way. Okay, sorry. Shut up now. Finish.
I mean, the industry has changed so much in London in the last 9 years. It's gone from very, you know, technical, jazzy kind of great dancers who have that really solid technique underneath them. To dancers coming out just knowing how to do commercial.
Yeah.
And the commercial industry is one of the hardest to get into.
Yeah.
It is very much who you know, not what you know.
Yeah.
So it's a case of teaching them how to be a bit more street smart.
Yeah.
You know, don't come out thinking that you're going to walk straight into Chicago because that's not going to happen. You know, I wish someone taught me at college how to do tax returns, how to save money, how to
basic business skills,
how to be more realistic,
an entrepreneur,
exactly. And you know, this goes as far back to high school as well. Like, I did GCSE dance, and I'm sorry, but I got a report 1 year saying that I danced too much. The person that taught me GCSE dance was a PE teacher.
Of course, yeah.
And we did the penguin contemporary thing. I was just like, this is not dance. This is not teaching me how to
move.
Yeah, this is not teaching me how to be a dancer. So I would love to see a little bit more realism put into these kids that are training for 3 years, it's costing the government a hell of a lot of money in grants. You know,
well, the ones that get them.
Yeah.
It's a whole other conversation like that. Anyway.
I mean, I was lucky enough to have a scholarship, and my mum and dad, you know, reminded me when I was a little bit bright, you know, like, you would not be here without that money, and that money has gone to you for you to train, like, and to work hard. Yeah. Like, I don't ever want to kill anyone's bushy-eyed, like, attitude towards it. You know, you always want people to come out being excited and have that passion for what they're doing, but there needs to be a little bit more of an understanding about how this life really is and how it's not easy.
So setting expectations before
and just being smart. Like, it took me 4 years to really understand how to do my tax returns.
Oh, we're getting nice. They're coming on. Oh, no, we're nearly on. Bless. So how do you think, so using the London industry and the Dubai kind of performing arts industry, let's call it performing arts industry and dance industry, what would you say are the major differences, the pluses and the minuses, and just like make a comparison between the two?
In London, you have so much option as a booker.
Yeah.
Like, I could do an audition and I would have 1,000 dancers turn up without
and
even
half of them could do the job. Yeah.
Exactly. So then you're actually going down to the nitty gritty and being like, okay, can they, like, really pushing the dancers.
Yeah.
Where here you have an audition and hardly anyone turns up.
Right.
And, you know, I feel like people in London still have that attitude to train, where here it's not so much. You know, I myself have tried to do classes, you know, even with my CV. I still get 3 people turn up, and then the next week 1 person turns up, and the next week 5 people turn up. It's so
irregular.
Yeah, it's, no one sees training here as a stable part of their life. I get that, you know, work is first, but I do feel like a lot of dancers have been very spoiled in Dubai.
Yeah.
With great wages. I mean, the last job that I did in the UK was for Ollie Murs, live, Dancing
He's
on Ice.
Yeah.
But I barely made £350 on that job.
Yeah.
And then my first job after in Dubai was a flash mob, and I got paid triple that.
Wow.
For a flash mob in a mall.
Yeah.
So, you know, they're very spoiled here with their wages.
Yeah.
I don't think they realise the fight that it takes in other countries to get work.
Right.
Because there is such a smaller number here if you're good.
Yes.
And if you do have talent, it's easy to get spotted, it's easy to get booked, it's easy to be known.
Yeah.
Where in London it's not.
No.
You are just another name on a call sheet. You are just another girl lined up outside of a theatre for 3 hours in the cold. So that element is huge here. But I would say here you get a more diverse culture.
Okay.
So
that's definitely true.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I hire 10 dancers and nearly every single one of them is from a different country.
Yeah.
And it's great that you get to interact with different cultures. You get to see people who have become amazing dancers from just YouTube. You know, they didn't even need to go to college for 3 years. They're like, you get a different level of determination.
Yeah.
Which is always really great, and I appreciate that. And like some people who come from not such great countries with training.
I get it.
You know,
we literally spoke to a guy last week who's a photographer who came from Syria.
Yeah.
And he literally escaped the war, came here with $70 and had to make a career.
Yeah, so, and you get that here.
Yeah.
You know, people are a little bit stronger because they don't have their families here. Mm. You don't have anyone to jump on a train and go back and go, Mom, you don't have that. And a lot of people are self-sufficient.
Yeah.
So then they power through. So people are hungrier in one aspect, but they don't understand how hard it is to work.
Yeah, if you go to LA, New York, London,
and I,
you're a dot.
Without sounding like a bad person, I think around 70% of the people that work regularly in Dubai would not find work so easily if they went to LA, went to London, went to New York. And I feel like that some people need a reality check.
Yeah. I couldn't agree more. So would you say, especially with so many people leaving Dubai with COVID and so on, actually this would be a great place to come if you are a talented
person. Oh my God, yeah.
You would.
If you're a boy dancer,
if you're a boy
that knows how to lift, that is technically trained, that does jazz, hip hop, contemporary, and knows a bit of ballet as well, You'd kill it.
Where would you find one of them?
I don't know. I'm still looking. I've been here 9 years. Still. Oh, yeah. Here we go. Here we go.
Laden trained ballet contemporary hip hop dancer.
Laden. He does a great contemporary role.
A nice barrel rolling to drop to the floor.
Dying
and then hold up and then feel emotional for about 5 minutes and then come back. So
it was a great air grab.
I did notice this because obviously I'm now a full-time choreographer.
Yeah.
And I said I would never do dancing again. Yeah, I found myself in the latest audition for the Expo doing well, I think.
Yeah.
And it was like, you know, back in England, I'm still a good dancer at my age. I'm not going to say my age. But out here, I feel really good.
Yeah. it's not awful.
But yeah, no, I completely get it. And I think there's a lot of opportunity here if someone was willing to come over. However, a lot of the rumours I've heard at the moment is it's not as easy to just come and work here anymore.
No,
They're making stronger restrictions on visas and
absolutely.
So on.
When I first moved here, no one had a visa.
Right.
Everyone did Oman runs. Yeah. Every 30 days, you'd jump in
the car, go in
the rental, four or five people in a car, you'd do a little alcohol run on the way back. you'd drive out to Oman, get your little stamps, come back in.
Yeah.
People lived that way for 4 or 5 years with a single visa, without a bank account.
Yeah.
Now you have to have bank accounts to get paid. You have to have medical insurance here once you have a visa. It's a lot more expensive to live here now. So
do you think that's done tactically?
Of course.
Yes.
But then it's also, I think it's a better thing.
Yeah.
Like you should have medical insurance when you live in a country where going to hospital for a standard test costs an absolute arm and a leg.
Yeah.
Like, you should protect yourself. And I think if you are an expat, then I think the respectful thing to do is get a visa so that you live in that country properly.
Properly. And pay the country to live here. Because like I was telling you earlier, I'm just finishing my visa process now.
Yeah.
Which has been a nightmare. But $3,000 later, I've got my visa. And in my head, I'm like, do you know what? That's like paying tax in England.
Yeah.
So in my head, I paid Dubai tax.
I mean, we all complain when people go over to England and then don't get a job and don't pay taxes and then claim on benefits. Like, and then you come here and do it. Like, not the benefits, but
cash in hand
jobbies. Yeah, you know. So you have to play by the rules sometimes, and I don't think it's necessary.
I think it's a good thing. It will whittle out the weak and bring in the ones who have got a strong mind.
Exactly.
To do it. So kind of going back to what you're talking about, rejection and stuff like that, what advice would you give to dancers who are struggling with dealing with rejection? And, you know, going to a casting, because you know what it's like, you can go to 10, 20, 30 a week and get 30 no's.
Yeah.
Like, I don't care how strong you are, that's going to take a hit.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, when I was a dancer, mental health and having those conversations was not a thing.
Mm.
Nowadays, it's good that it is.
Yes,
it's
couldn't
more
agree
of a topic
more. Yeah.
That people are more open to, and it should be.
Mm.
You know, it's not easy.
No.
It's definitely not easy busting your gut every day, going into these auditions, getting a no, because when you dance, you pour your heart and soul into everything you do.
Yeah.
So again, it's back to having a strong base. It's a good group of friends that you can jump on Zoom and have a glass of wine and talk about something other than what you've been through.
I love you said jump on Zoom.
No, well, because it is like that now, isn't it? It's the new norm.
You can meet people now. But you're still like, on Zoom. That's where the party's at.
Well, for me it is. Jump on Zoom with a glass of grape juice.
grape juice.
And just having, not being afraid to talk about the rejection, not being afraid to talk about how it makes you feel.
Okay.
Because, you know, I had many of those conversations with my mum and with my dad and with my sister, going, I don't know what more I can do.
Yeah.
And having a great support system Sarah, we believe in you. Sarah, you're great, keep going, keep powering through. It only takes one job to break through, and then you're hired for a month and no idea what that job is going to lead you. Like, you just don't know. And trying to stay positive, I know it's a very cliche thing to say, stay positive, because sometimes you just don't want to.
Yeah.
If you need to cry, cry.
If you
need to scream into the air, scream. Like, it really doesn't matter. And I think having a strong family and a strong friendship group that you feel like you can have a rant to or just take your mind off it is a release.
It's good. Well, there's a lot of evidence behind, have you heard about the vibrations?
No.
Oh, darling. So you know the universe, the secret and so on, and I know that's kind of taking off quite a lot here.
Mm-hmm.
I've heard a lot of people talking about, have you read this book? I'm like, quite a while ago.
Yeah.
So it's been around
like 5 years ago.
And it seems like here's kind of catching up with the kind of mental health, positive vibes, etc. Mm-hmm. But there's actually scientific evidence behind that people vibrate on different levels depending on what mood they're in. Mm-hmm. So apparently you vibrate slower when you're miserable and you faster when you're in a good place. And that literally attracts people in the same vibrations.
Right, okay.
So you know the saying, misery loves company.
Yes.
It literally is because you're both vibrating on the same frequency that you're attracted to each other. Yeah. So as much as like, this is advice I give to people, like, give yourself a time limit. Say, right, I'm pissed, I'm annoyed. Damn it! It's because I'm really, it's quite a natural conversation. I forget the blooming microphones. You know, I give myself, I'm like, I'm annoyed at that. I'm giving myself 2 hours to be annoyed.
Yeah.
I'll rant to someone for 2 hours who's happy to listen to me. I've got a few of them. Because I do it for them a lot. And then I'm like, right, I'm done.
Yeah.
Put a line under it, I move on.
Yeah.
And that's worked for me for quite a few years now.
Where, and that's,
yeah, back in the day.
It goes back to having that friendship group or that family that are outside of what you do.
Exactly.
Because if we've both been to the same auditions this week and we both didn't get booked for it, what's the point of us just sitting here moaning about it? Like, take yourself out of the situation. And Dubai is the perfect place
for that.
Like, exactly. Like, in the UK, what would you do? I mean, I used to go around the museums.
Yeah.
I used to be obsessed with going into London and walking around and going all into these free museums because it was a distraction. It was a positive distraction. So find yourself a positive distraction.
Yeah. Amazing, amazing. Okay, so we kind of covered this because obviously I give all the guests chances to give me three subjects to talk about. Do we need to talk any more about the importance of training? I feel like you covered that one, don't you?
I mean, we've covered it, but I will say it again.
Go on, reiterate the message across.
Having a technical base enables you to cover so many different genres of dance.
Yeah.
Like, I was never going to be a ballerina.
Yeah.
I didn't, and my body shape was not right for it.
Yeah.
But when I went to college and I started doing ballet 5 times a week, my jazz improved. My tap improved. Contemporary. Yeah. Even my musical theatre improved because I was training that base.
Yeah.
I was training how to kick with a strong supported leg without buckling in my back and my core. Like, you know, just if dancers, especially here, if you didn't have that upbringing of going to dance class, having one structural technical dance class a week would show a massive improvement in your overall ability to be more flexible and versatile as a dancer.
Yeah.
I think so many people get used to, I'm a hip hop girl, so I'm only going to do hip hop. No. Why bracket yourself? Yeah. Why bracket yourself into that?
Couldn't agree more.
Train, have fun with it.
Yeah.
Use it as a fitness, use it as a therapy. Like, you don't go to yoga and expect to be the best at yoga. Don't be afraid to be worse in the class because you have no idea how that can better you in other subjects.
Yeah.
So train.
And my favorite saying I'm going to add on to that is make as many mistakes as possible.
Yeah.
Because dancing is the only career in the world that to learn you have to make mistakes.
Of course.
It's impossible not to about it. So if you want to be that cool kid in class and never make mistakes, you'll never grow.
I went to a lock in a popping class once at Pineapple.
Nice.
I laughed. I don't even know. I tried to blank it from my memory.
It was so Jimmy.
I was so bad. I was like, I could not do it. But I came out going, that was fun.
Yeah.
I learned something. I mean, I learned that I couldn't lock and
pop.
No. But
show us your best pop.
No. I'm literally like, I can honestly
say,
if a brief comes in where it's we want lockers and poppers and breakdancers, I'm like, yeah, I need a choreographer for this, so this is when I record you now.
Yay!
But like, I would never try to attempt to do something that I'm not good at. But it never stopped me from going to those classes in the first place.
Well, it's funny, because obviously here I'm kind of known as more of a commercial choreographer already. I haven't been along. But I trained at Laban Center as a ballet contemporary dancer.
Exactly.
I travelled the world learning all the street dance styles, popping, locking hands, whacking, waving, all that stuff. Then I became a commercial choreographer.
Whacking,
waving, popping, locking.
Oh God, did you just do one of those?
Hey.
Yeah, that's like Rudai.
Oh, good on Rudai. Shout out to Stuart if you actually watch these. And that's the thing. I've come through that foundation to get to where I am today. And actually, although I call my classes commercial, I purely base it on the music I pick.
Yeah.
Because 1 week you'll get a lyrical routine.
Whatever inspires you, that's
Yeah, no, literally. And everyone always says, so what is your style? And I'm like, I don't know.
Don't have a style.
I just make stuff up to music.
Yeah.
And it kind of, but it works.
And that's it's part of the love of what we do.
Yeah. And there is good classes here.
Yeah, absolutely.
Which I'm discovering. So yeah. Guys, if you do want to know where, you can message either Sarah or me and we'll happily direct you to my class and the other classes as well.
He's even making me go now.
Yeah, you are coming. I'm gonna make that happen, don't worry. Okay, so slightly lighter subject now.
Okay.
Unless there's anything else you want to talk about.
No, good.
Who would play you in the movie of your life?
Jennifer Lawrence.
That was quick.
I love her. Like, Hunger Games, fell in love with her, and then everything she's done since. I just feel like we'd be friends.
Okay.
Like, I feel like if I went out for a drink with Jennifer Lawrence, we'd have a cracking night.
She might come to Dubai.
Yeah,
we can make that happen.
Give me
somehow.
A call if you ever listen to this, Jennifer Lawrence.
Do you know, when I got asked this, I said Aquaman. Jason Momoa, was it? Yeah, okay.
And yeah, I can see that. I don't know whether there's a resemblance, but you know, I could be Hunger Games.
I'm growing the hair, darling. I'm growing the hair. And if you had one superpower, what would it be and why?
Invisibility. Because I'm so nosy. So nosy. Like, if someone goes in a room and I think they're talking about me.
Yeah.
Or if the phone goes off and I'm like... Like, if I was just invisible, I could just...
Good to know.
I'm just so inquisitive.
Yeah.
I've always been like that, even when I was a kid. Like, if something
How many
was
times
going
have you
on,
looked at my laptop when I switched it?
A few
it? Times. Like, what do you manage that he's got open?
My boyfriend does that. He's like watching the news on the... Have you seen that meme where it's like one eye forward and then your boyfriend's phone goes off and your eye goes, yeah, like that is me.
Actually, got it.
Not that there's any trust issue or anything. It's
no,
just,
it's
I'm just,
gen- you are. You're
just generally nosy.
Yeah.
And I think being invisible and,
I mean, away
yeah, I'd go
judged.
To like, I'd go to like Area 51 or like, and like look around and see like what is being hidden
How
from
do we
us.
Know it even exists?
Alright, let me be invisible and I'll go find out for you.
Okay, cool. So you've got to find it first.
Yes.
That's the biggest
Find out
secret.
All the secrets.
And if you have to pick, and you can't have the other, work hard or play hard?
Can I not say work hard until you can play hard?
Oh, no. Pick one.
No.
I did cheat the question myself, so let's see if you do the same thing.
Do you want to play hard?
Okay.
Because you've got to find joy.
In life,
yeah, exactly. Like, all work and no play is not a way to live.
Unless
life.
Your work is playing. Ooh, which is how I thought. I feel like I'm playing the whole time.
But then that's cheating it as well.
Yeah, completely. So cheat away, I don't care.
Work hard so you can play hard.
Yeah, exactly.
Thanks.
So, one last message.
Yeah.
So, if you had to, do you have a mantra? Do you have something you live by?
Well, I kind of said it earlier. You know, the whole... If the plan doesn't work, change the plan, but never give up on the goal.
Never give up on the goal.
Never.
All right, and lastly, to that camera right there, plug yourself. How can people get hold of you? Tell them about your agency. Sell yourself.
Okay, oh God, I'm never very good at that. I work for Disconnected. We are Disconnected. So I work for an agency that's a 360 agency. We cover models, hostesses, promotional staff, dancers, acrobats, you name it. We've got it. We design concepts. So if you're creating a gala dinner and you don't know what theme to do, people come to me and I
say,
make it work.
Make something for
me. And you know, like you said, we have our fingers in lots of pies. You know, people that are creative, we're not just good at one thing. You know, I have my 9-to-5 job, but then I'm also a dancer, I'm also a choreographer, I'm also a makeup artist. Yeah. So. And a costume designer, you know, I've got great friends down in Sawa. Like, it's...
Oh, I need to go there. I need to know where it is. Oh, really? Okay.
It's like Dragon White, you get sucked in, they never let you out. But yeah, no, thank you so much for having me today.
That's
it's
right.
been amazing
thank
just
you for coming
to talk
on.
About the industry and to be on a level with someone who knows it, who gets it, and who's experienced it as
and
well.
And I'm sure
so.
We'll have many more conversations.
Absolutely.
So guys, thank you so much for watching the podcast again, or listening to the podcast if you're on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. If you are in Dubai, you can join us every week at the Souk Meydanet, where I'll be interviewing a different person from the industry who is here in Dubai. So enjoy, like, comment, subscribe, all that jazz, and I'll see you in the next one. Peace
Bye.
Out.